Welcome to Leading Off in the Low Country. I am Lillian Starr, and with me, as always, is the voice of the River Dogs, Matt Dean. We're here at the Joe. You're just on the road, and you're back home last night. We're going to talk a little bit more about that later. We're going to get into a little bit about the Chicago teams, really wondering what they can't do, although it is still early in the season, but excited to talk about them. But first, Matt, I was just curious. I want a little behind-the-scenes kind of thing. As an announcer, are you with the team constantly? Are you by yourself? I mean, are you wining and dining with them? What goes on with you and the traveling?
Right. So, I mean, I travel with the team, so I take the team bus. There'll be, maybe two trips this year where I'll, ride on my own just to have a car. But, yeah, generally I'm taking the team bus with the players, with the staff. I sit up in front of the bus with, the rest of the coaches and staff.
Road trip. It's not super glamorous. It's honestly, I like it. It's a lot, especially when it's a close road trip. It's a lot more relaxing for me generally.
So on the road, that's kind of my rest time.
Are you saying when you go up north to Hagerstown, to New Jersey?
That's not as relaxing. it's kind of, I'm talking about close road trips. I'm talking about a little.
The bus ride a little rough all the way up there.
Yeah, I'm talking about if we do the ideal situation is going to like Greenville, Columbia, Augusta, a little hop, skip, and a jump. Those are the best road trips.
All right, so I'm going to jump into the Chicago teams in the NMLB. And I'm going to start on the south side because I'm in awe of Chris Sale, who has already, from last night, is 9-0, the first one to win all first of his nine games. Also,
since like 1952, I think it is.
And
the first White Sox pitcher since like 1919, I think I heard yesterday as well. So
we tabled this discussion a couple weeks ago, mainly because it wasn't very prevalent. But the White Sox, they've actually perform something that hasn't been done in years, and they've had their second triple play just this season. Their first one was crazy because that was, and they were both against Texas teams, which I think is hilarious. A couple nights ago, they had what they considered a normal triple play, which of course is not normal as it is, where it was a 5-4-3 triple play, runners on first and second, and it was just round the horn, very simple. And we say that, but nothing like that usually happens. But the first one, which is my favorite one, which if you know your plays, it was a 9-3-2-6-2-5 triple play. And that was against the Texas Rangers. That was several weeks ago. And I remember watching it, first and foremost, the heads-up defense of the White Sox and the poor running of the Texas Rangers.
It was horrible. Yeah, Prince Fielder botched it. And it was just, there was at least two just like horrible base-running mistakes. But yeah, I mean, you got to get rid of the defense a little bit. But surprising too, I think, coming from the White Sox, who, I mean, they retooled their team a little bit, but they were the worst defensive team in the league last year. They were atrocious.
Definitely.
They have Jimmy Rollins playing shortstop now, and Austin Jackson's in center field. So,
and they got Frazier now. They got
Todd Frazier.
Bat and great defense for them now.
Right. So those are huge upgrades for them defensively, but they were a terrible defensive team last year. So, I mean, a lot of luck's involved. You don't want to be a team that, leads the league in triple plays necessarily, or leading the league in double plays is kind of usually the example, because that means, your pitching's probably not doing that well if you have that many base runners on. But, still takes a lot of skill to turn the triple plays, so kind of a wild occurrence that the White Sox have, the first two triple plays of the year, both on the same team?
Yes, and like I said, against Texas teams, which, I don't know if that's a good or bad thing. We'll find out. But we're going to go to the north side of the city, and wow, what can you say about the Cubs? They are 28-11. They are 6.5 games in front of the Pittsburgh Pirates. And, of course, a lot of it has to do with their ace, Jake Arrieta.
Yeah, and I mean, everybody knew that they were going to be one of the best offenses, like one of the best lineups in the league, probably the best. They're leading the NL in runs scored, and that certainly hasn't been a surprise. But yeah, it's been Arrieta who's been really dominant again.
Believe tonight, Jake Arrieta will be pitching against the red hot San Francisco Giants. I think they have like a 7 or 8 game winning streak at this point, so that should be interesting to watch tonight. We're going to get to the River Dogs in just a moment, but I want to talk about former Giants pitcher Tim Lincecum. And he had this nice tryout a couple weeks ago on a Friday to 20 or so major league teams. And he was hoping to sign on with his old team, the Giants, but it's reported that he signed with another West Coast team, and that would be the Angels, who are literally in desperate need of pitching.
They're hurting. They have their ace down, I think, the rest of the year. He's on the 60-day DL, C.J. Wilson. No Tyler Skaggs, who's kind of maybe the next guy in line.
Jared Weaver has not shown any. It just doesn't look like he.
Yeah, he's struggling to throw a fastball at 80 miles an hour at this point.
You know, Tim Lincecum went into his little audition. He said he wouldn't mind a starting job, but he really just wants to get in the bullpen so he just get back into pitching. And it looks like he's going to be part of the starting rotation right off the bat.
Yeah, it's probably the only team he can walk onto in the major leagues right now and just get a starting job. Good to see the chance for Lincecum. Angels are really hurting, and they just can't put together a team now, and they're just kind of locked with bad contracts despite having Mike Trout.
They're third in the West, and hopefully for them, Tim Lincecum can do something to help them with that record. I've obviously got pitchers on the brain because I have been listening to all the River Dogs, well, a lot of the River Dogs broadcasts, and I have to tell you, it was a spectacular game for your pitching last night, especially for your starter.
Yeah, Nestor Cortez had a great night. I mean, at this point, it really is, you just plug in whatever pitcher you want, and they're just going to rack up 12 strikeouts in a night. Like, it doesn't matter. I mean, the River Dogs first in the league, and they got something like at least 30 more strikeouts than the next closest team. It's absurd.
Charleston has 400 strikeouts, and Delmarva, who's second, has 345. That is a 55 strikeout difference. And the ERA, Charleston's first. The team is pitching at a 3.06, and the next team is really 22 points above that. Yeah. And that's a huge difference, what was going on last year and what is going on this year.
And we're just keeping it going. I mean, even with the ace, Domingo Acevedo's on the disabled list right now. Cortez was actually the guy who basically is only here because he got a chance when Acevedo went down with an injury. So he's got kind of a day-to-day lower body injury. We're not sure when he's going to be back, but he's still with the team. So that's an encouraging sign for when kind of the Yankees' top prospect that got sent down to Charleston to start the year's out. So Cortez gets his chance, and career-high 12 strikeouts last night. He's not a guy that was, throwing upper 90s or anything like that, but just kind of located all of his pitches and had a great night. That was the most strikeouts for any pitcher this year, 12 strikeouts on a team that, as you mentioned, is just racking up Ks left and right this year. So pretty impressive stuff from Cortez, who started out the year in extended spring training.
Well, that's awesome, and hopefully they can keep on winning here because the River Dogs are, I believe, 25-14 now. They are leading in the South by 5.5 games over Columbia, who they are playing tonight, and so hopefully we can extend that lead.
Yeah, big lead right now. I mean, we're a little bit over halfway through the first half title. So right now, Charleston's got a lot of talent here. You want to win, lock up the playoff spot, because you don't know what the roster is going to be like next half.
You might lose a lot more than just the pitchers now.
You might lose everybody. It'll take 70 games, and if the River Dogs will have to finish with the best record in the South. So really a chance to put some distance on Columbia this series. Three more games. River Dogs will be seeing a lot of their in-state rival, so should be a good one. And we got a little bit of a rivalry happening on the field, and front offices taking some shots at each other on Twitter and stuff. So it's turned into a fun rivalry. You got the natural Yankees Mets, hatred going on, but then you also have some fun kind of in state. We're taking some friendly jabs at each other as well, so it's fun.
Well, that is it for leading off in the Low Country. I am Lillian Starr of 95SX, and you can hear me on Sundays from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. right after Carson Daly and Matt Dean, voice of the River Dogs. You can hear him on WTMA, The Big Talker, 12:50 a.m. and also on riverdogs.com online. Thank you so much for listening. Have a wonderful day.